Panama hats cover up scrambled brains, we are all POWs. By End Politicians, November 18, 2021, blog, politics, writing. Honda Prelude. News. November 22, 2021, will be 58 years since President of the United States, John Fitzgerald Kennedy, JFK, was assassinated by a lone gunman in a book depository in Dallas, Texas. For those who have never done any research into the event, there was a lot more going on than Lee Harvey Oswald in the book depository. I will not get much into the conspiracy, but one small piece of the massive picture letting one know that many insiders plotted to murder the president is the Secret Service agents assigned to ride on the back of JFK's limousine being called off by the head special agent, Emery Roberts, just as the presidential parade was beginning. Here is a video. To this very day, the Central Intelligence Agency, CIA, still refuses to release many classified documents on the JFK assassination. President Trump claimed he was going to have them released, but turned tail after stating something along the lines of, "After what I saw in the files, I could not release them." Basically, a national security issue. What if I were to say that a president that came after JFK might have had a role in planning, and just could have very well been one of the ones to put a bullet into JFK? Pretty crazy. Sometimes truth is crazier than fiction. The predecessor to the presidency of JFK was Dwight D. Eisenhower. Eisenhower was Supreme Commander of the Allied Expeditionary Force during World War II. Dwight knew a thing about the military's working, and definitely of military intelligence, which was the Office of Strategic Service during World War II, which after the war, was dissolved and transformed into the Central Intelligence Agency on September 18, 1947. Now there are some tentacles. Tentacles that spread throughout Western Europe as the Allies advanced during the war, of which, tentacles still exist to this very day. It should be noted that the time between the end of World War II in Europe, May 8, 1945, and the CIA's coming out party on September 18, 1947 is more than 2 years. Any guesses as to the timeline? Hint, look up Operation Paperclip. After the Nazis failed to hold up their end of the bargain and wipe out the Soviet scourge, the Nazis that did not end up in Soviet custody and the prison labor colonies of Uncle Joe, fell into the lap of U.S. The Nazis low on the totem pole were of no significance, but the higher ups, extreme significance to the formation of America post-war. Operation Paperclip focuses on Nazi scientists working for the U.S., but the Nazi secret police, Gestapo, were a decent study part of the absorption of Nazi function in occupied Europe. No doubt, after 2 years plus of studying Nazi techniques, with the help of the many Nazi Party members that the U.S. absorbed into its role as post-war world police, covert, as well as overt, the U.S. was ready to unveil to the public the overt organization known as the CIA, that would engage in covert action that to this day is shady beyond belief. Though it should be noted that many of the people working for the CIA today are low, mid and elevated level patriots, recruited while young and naive to do a job that a lifetime of indoctrination might not allow one to see anything other than righteous patriotic fervor, most are not part of the arm that surely exists as a literal secret entity engaged in off-grid operations such as presidential assassination, drug running and other extremely nefarious dark operations. Perhaps there are even many with a conscience like Edward Snowden, willing to do the right thing when the time arises. Harry S. Truman, President of the USA at the end of World War II, who allowed the CIA to come into existence, penned a letter that was published in the Washington Post on December 22, 1963, exactly 1 month after the assassination of JFK. Symbolism without actually pointing the finger, most likely. During Eisenhower's farewell address to the world, he warned everyone as to what he called the military-industrial complex, which has turned into the deep state, and in short is a conglomeration of intelligence agencies such as the CIA, the military and military intelligence, Pentagon, and private enterprise such as oil companies and arms manufacturers, Raytheon, Northrop Grumman, etc., along with the all-too-willing moral prostitute politicians who go along with the endeavors of greed and death, strictly for profit and power. Post-World War II, the U.S. has been run off of the military-industrial complex, and even Eisenhower himself participated in it. The CIA orchestrated a coup in Guatemala in 1954 to depose the president, Jacobo Arbenz, who had begun land reforms by taking land back from the United Fruit Company to give to Guatemalan peasants. The United Fruit Company was connected to the Dulles brothers, of yes, the CIA and Secretary of State fame, during Eisenhower's presidency. The United Fruit Company became Chiquita Banana, so yes, the military-industrial complex, through the CIA, overthrew a democratically elected president to preserve corporate interests of U.S. government members. This is a snowflake on the iceberg. Let's not forget about the Korean War, under Eisenhower, making money for the partners and stakeholders of the military-industrial complex. Look into the CIA and MI6 overthrowing the democratically elected Prime Minister of Iran, Mohammad Mossadegh, in 1953, under, again, Eisenhower. A lot of oil in Iran. That pesky national security, profit, power and prolongation of perversity. So, Eisenhower, being privy of how the system worked, participated in the carnage, then warned the world upon leaving the presidency, and JFK actually tried to rein in some elements of the military-industrial complex. You still think some loner in a book depository blew JFK's brains out? That Vietnam War started very soon after JFK's replacement, Lyndon B. Johnson, was hooked up to those puppet strings. Yes, JFK was for peace and against the Vietnam War. A lot of people made a lot of money on the Vietnam War. Bombs and weapons galore to be sold. There was a lot of heroin in Southeast Asia. Not so funny how heroin supply and addiction in the U.S. took off once the Vietnam War began. Covert operations, all those military planes for transport. As well as the Vietnam War, Lyndon B. Johnson began the war on drugs and the war on poverty, of which both still exist greatly to this day. Once any government declares war on anything, said problem is guaranteed to expand and be around for decades to come. War on terror, anybody? Yes, wars just give government, institutions and private contractors a reason to expand and continue infiltrating new rackets. With government expansion, debts must be incurred to feed the system, and of course banking, government and corporate institutions must become involved in the war on whatever. Need I remind when that our slime ball politicians and their globalist puppet masters have declared war on COVID? If we do not endlessly and peacefully protest this COVID war, your children's children will still be POWs within. Here is Dwight, I sure am gladio that it was just another lone gunman. By the time of JFK's assassination, the CIA already had 16 years of infiltrating government, politics, banking, corporations, military installations, three-letter agencies and foreign countries. By now, 2021, they have had 74 years of operating under the radar in corporate, government and institutional permission for nearly four generations' time. They are part and parcel of the system. It does not take much cranial computing power to realize the depths to which they have metastasized. Of course, media is a critical role of the system. The system really is a perverted puddle of filth. Any guesses as to why the majority of the corporate media incessantly assaulted Donald Trump from day one of his presidency? What, they did not own him, just managed to control him? When former heads of the three-letter agencies begin overtly working for two of the largest, CNN and MSNBC, propaganda news media, it is an extreme sign of putrid rot and just reeks of desperation as a way to attempt to control a narrative that has become way too convoluted and make-believe. Fork-tongued spoon-feeding incessant mind-putting while self-harming on the edge of a knife. Remember the Las Vegas concert shooting? That non-compromised, Highly believable mainstream media has told us that Stephen Paddock was an anti-government nutcase infatuated with government conspiracy. Of course, the media has witnesses that can verify his crazy motives and even testimony that he was depressed and suicidal just before the attack. Yes, Mr. Paddock allegedly shot himself in the mouth. Graphic. Question is, who actually pulled the trigger? My question is, if one was overtly suicidal, with an extreme hate of government and the willingness to die, why would one not go find some bureaucrats, politicians or other government workers to go slaughter? No, this mad conspiracy theorist had to massacre innocent people with high-powered automatic weapons and then dine alone on a bullet from a dinky little handgun before he even got the chance to murder some authoritative government police members. Swiss cheese story so far. This next question and photos should raise some serious questions in your mind. Does one, about to commit mass murder, who knows that their suicide is a foregone conclusion, wear gloves that would prevent fingerprints from transferring to the murder weapons, or would prevent gunpowder residue from staining the hands of the perpetrator? Suppose suicide note, does a single shooter need two windows? Anyone paying even a little bit of attention to how society functions should have come to the realization that Donald Trump was not owned by the deep state, and was indeed attempting to make a change to the entrenched system of overflowing deep state corruption, though he was too naive, conceited, self-absorbed, brash and ignorant to do it with any effect. My opinion is that the Las Vegas shooting was a warning to Donald Trump, from the agency rogues, to play in their field or else. Is there any wonder as to why Trump had his private security detail enmeshed with the Secret Service supplied by the government to offer protection? Perhaps it is time to do some studying on the broad into activation Operation Gladio, and the well-laid plans of Operation Northwoods, just to see what antics Black Op Intelligence Agency constructs will go to in order to ensure an outcome that is beneficial to its partners and stakeholders. Operation Gladio was brought into effect at the end of World War II and is responsible for the deaths of innocent civilians into the hundreds. Officially, Gladio was supposed to have been dismantled at the end of the 1980s and early 90s. Though one has to wonder, did they just rebrand with this new terrorism of the 21st century? Surely the vassal states and leaders that deviate from the plot too much must be reminded of the authors of the script. Bush shaking the tree of death. Former President George H.W. Bush, Sr., was appointed CIA director in 1976, supposedly without having any experience as an operative for the agency. Though independent research has linked Bush Sr., in covert actions, to the agency as far back as 1950, and Bush was involved in military intelligence back in World War II. Bush was also a Skull and Bones member. Look into that. If you have the time, read the 10 parts Bush JFK expose here. It will make one think, immensely. 1976 is nearly a full generation of embedding operatives in every nook and cranny of the US power structure. Another very interesting fact is the attempted assassination of Ronald Reagan on March 30, 1981. Who was vice president under Ronnie? Yup, George Bush Sr. If Reagan were to die, old Bush would be the man in the White House. There is no there there, one asks. It kind of gets weird that the man who shot Reagan, John Hinckley Jr., and his family were friends of the Bush family. Read this, do your own research too. Coincidence, maybe, though hard to believe so. Now is the time to familiarize oneself with the CIA's Project MKUltra. MKUltra was mind control experiments beginning in the 1950s and officially disbanded in 1973. The sanitary version of MKUltra was supposedly designed to come up with interrogation techniques. Again, one of those single-faceted official government explanations. And once Bush Sr. was elected, is it any wonder that the military-industrial complex very soon had a war to line the pockets of the partners and stakeholders? Iraq, Operation Desert Storm. Old Bush even violently invaded Panama soon after becoming president. Who was president of Panama? Manuel Noriega, of course. Noriega and the US had a long relationship. Noriega was a CIA operative, as well as being wrapped up with the DEA. Of course, when the U.S.'s use and patience with Noriega expired, Noriega miraculously was brought up on trafficking charges. It must be noted that the invasion of Panama served at least two very good reasons. Firstly, to reassert power and control over the Panama Canal, a very important shipping infrastructure of geopolitical strategic importance. Though the canal was officially supposed to being fully controlled by Panama in the year 2000, it could be fair to say that is definitely not the case. U.S. national security. The second main reason for the invasion of Panama was to test out some new weaponry that America had developed and to give some much-needed action to the U.S. Army. After all, there had not been any serious military action since the U.S. failed miserably in Vietnam. Although, billions of dollars profit is not a failure to the profiteers. Yes, Operation Just Cause, the invasion of Panama was a training and trial for the above-mentioned Gulf War, which would follow in about a year's time. I guess the Pentagon had gotten too far away from its inherited Nazi techniques during the Vietnam War. They had forgotten to employ the blitzkrieg of shock and all that the Nazis were so famous for. Although, long and drawn out definitely makes more profit for the partners and stakeholders. Remember Afghanistan? The Stalingrad moment? It is getting late, and I should probably stop here before I say anything that would make me seem like I am some sort of conspiracy theorist, or upset any government or government agencies that strictly exist for benevolent, caring and loving purposes to further universal understanding, societal enlightenment and world peace. If I was a betting man and thought that the truth was actually attainable, from my inputs, I would bet my life savings, all $51, that George H.W. Bush was involved in the JFK assassination, and quite possibly even put a bullet in JFK's body. National security. No, I am not depressed. Okay, maybe a little, BS government COVID doctrine and regime will do that to a free-thinking individual. My only weapon is a Soviet-era bazooka, so if they find me with a self-inflicted bazooka wound, remember, firstly, I am ambidextrous, so blowing my brains out with either or both hands is technically not possible. Unless of course I rigged up some sort of support device many feet away and then taped off the safety and attached a long cord. Too many cartoons as a kid? I never learned to read or write, so a note is not possible. This is all auto-dictate. I heard that a bazooka will suck the boogers right out of one's nose when shoulder-fired. See our latest articles, hey, is for horse-faced treasonous globalist puppets up in the air humanity.